I come to realize, for most of us Chinese, we normally celebrate Chinese New Year following what we call tradition, what our forefather has actually passed down and what Chinese people traditionally used to do. So after reflecting on this, I realize if we can apply the Buddha Dharma to understand what we do, it will be something so much more meaningful and so much better. Then just now when I came in, I saw your this morning puja, and I heard from sister and the colleague, your section on contemplation and dedication of whatever aspiration that you all want. It's very, very appropriate, beautiful, and meaningful. And it actually tie up with most of the New Year message that you all normally wish people. I read to you, then you understand. You see, on the section on contemplation, it was mentioned, it said, let us remain seated before the Buddha image in meditative posture, with our mind now filled with metta or loving kindness, let us have a few moments of silent contemplation. In this very life and in our future life, may we continue to take refuge in the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, and follow the Noble Eightfold Path that will eventually lead us to our final liberation from samsara. You see, dedication of what they call refuge, promise to take refuge in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, the Triple Gem, and to follow the advice of the Buddha in the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditative training, is very important for you to achieve what you want. If you take refuge with the Triple Gem, the Buddha Dharma and the Sangha, they hold the key to all the teaching, the truth, or we call the Dhamma. And with the teaching, you can actually realize enlightenment or liberation in the here and the now. And because Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation or is the path that will lead to this realization, and that will bring forth a condition for you to have the wisdom to be free from all suffering. That's the reason why this contemplation and determination to go this way is very important. I will elaborate further later on how to apply the Noble Eightfold Path during Chinese New Year so that it can be so meaningful and so useful. Then you go on. You mention along the way, may we be blessed with what? Good health, happiness, and success in life, with good families, relatives, friends, until our attainment or realization of Nibbana. May we be well and happy always. Isn't this sound familiar? New Year greeting, isn't it? What do you wish for people, New Year? Previously is wishing you all a very happy, prosperous Chinese New Year, isn't it? But now I realize a lot of people is very, very careful with health. They add in this good health. That's why today my title is wishing all of you a very happy, I add in the word friendly, good and prosperous New Year. Hopefully it covers most of the things that you are looking forward to. You see, happiness is something each and every human being or living being look forward to. We wish we can have joy and happiness throughout our life. This can only be realized when you are enlightened. And it's possible. Really, really possible. Then friendliness is because without friendliness, you cannot realize your vision or mission that your society has actually come up with. Your society actually have this very noble vision. The mission statement says, towards a friendly and caring Dharma center. You remember? So, I think over the last 1 year, many things has happened, and I got very good feedback. I was told now, your center, your society is starting to have things that are happening. And they used to tell me in the past, when they come to SJBA, most of them are very like cold to newcomers, like not so friendly. But recently they told me they have seen changes. A lot of friendliness has been expressed. And this is very important. To be friendly, we must have goodness and kindness. Right or not? Otherwise, you cannot be friendly, isn't it? If you want to be friendly with somebody, you must have goodness, isn't it? You must have kindness, isn't it? And you must have what they call the cultivation, the Dhamma, especially the Noble Eightfold Path. So this is a very important part. Then I add in the word good. Good means what? You ask for or wish for what? Blessings. Good health, isn't it? Good health is one of them. What else? Apart from good health, what do you want? You want to have good life, isn't it? Then those working, what do you want to have? Good career life, isn't it? Good promotion, isn't it? Good salary. Then what else? Some of you may have what they call relationship problem with your loved one, your children, your husband, your spouse, and all those things. So you really wish for what they call good relationship. Understand? Then for your children and your kid, normally when you give New Year, what they call ang pao, what do you wish for your children? Wish you what? Good at your study, isn't it? Then be obedient. Listen to your parents. Respect your parents. Have gratitude towards them. So these are the things we wish for. Then the last part is, of course, prosperity. You want to have financial prosperity. That's why the Chinese introduce the three types of gods. You heard of these three types of gods? God of longevity. God of prosperity. Then the other one is what? God of what? Fortune. Good luck. They call Fuk Lok Sao in Cantonese. In Mandarin, I think it's Fu Lu Sao, if I'm not wrong. I'm English educated. My Mandarin is not good. So if I pronounce it wrongly, I hope you all can excuse me. So all this is what living beings look forward to. But there is a question we must ask ourselves. Is it just to wish then it will happen? Will it happen? It won't, isn't it? What have you got to do to bring about whatever wish that you have given to people for it to materialize so that these people understand how it can be done? That is more useful, isn't it? Otherwise, it's just like every year you just wish, even though some of us may be very sincere, we really wish them all this. But for them to have the causes and conditions to realize this happiness, this goodness, this what they call prosperity or wealth or longevity, good health and all those things, it may not happen. So now we got to go back to the Buddha Dharma to check and ask ourselves, how can this be realized? Then it becomes totally different. With this understanding, our life can change. we can help to bring about change to our loved ones too, our friends, our colleagues, and whoever we come to contact with during such happy occasion. Because Chinese New Year, as we know, is a time for us to gather. Most of us will have this what they call reunion dinner, isn't it? So once a year we come together to do what? What do you all do when you see each other? There's a lot of joy, isn't it? After almost a year, haven't met up. Of course, some of you may be near to each other, you used to meet up. But it's still an occasion where reunion is almost everybody will be home. Especially the parents and the grandparents. They will be very happy to see all their siblings together with them having a dinner together. And this is a time where you update each other, counsel, help, and support, and motivate each other. But of course, for those who don't have the Dhamma, it's also an occasion, if you do not understand, to apply all the wrong speech. They tend to say bad things about people, backbiting and all those things. We have to avoid all these things because it is a Chinese New Year. And this tradition, if it can be understood correctly, can be very meaningful and very, very useful. That's why the Buddha taught us the four types of wrong speech. This is part and parcel of the Noble Eightfold Path. When it comes to Noble Eightfold Path, you have what they call right view, leading to what they call right thought, then right speech. This is very important. What are right speech? Kind, gentle, and appropriate good speeches that can bring about happiness, joy, harmony, and what they call goodness, as opposed to negative thought or speech. Those inappropriate speeches, or the Buddha called the four types of wrong speeches, you have to avoid them. What are they? What are the four types of wrong speeches? Anybody? What are they? The first one is what? When you speak very angrily and very harshly, what do you call that speech? Harsh speech, isn't it? So when people speak very harshly or angrily with you, how do you feel? Do you feel good? Is it an occasion where you have this, what they call happy Chinese New Year? No more, isn't it? That's why avoid this type of speech. Even whatever misunderstanding you have, or whatever sort of bad past that you have, do not trigger it off. Do not allow it to arise. Do not just react and spoil the happy Chinese New Year that you are having. Understand or not? Small things do not create into big things. Just understand that this is an occasion for happiness, joy, and goodness. It's a Chinese New Year, a happy New Year. We should have this Dhamma in us to bring about such thing. So we have to avoid harsh, angry, emotional speeches, all the inappropriate speech. Then the second one is what? This one is very serious. Most people are not aware. We tend to say bad things about people when we share certain type of news, when we update each other. This is what the Buddha called backbiting, talking bad things about people behind their back when they are not around. This can be very, very evil because it's an evil root. This type of speech can lead to a lot of disharmony, misunderstanding, emotional anger and hatred if we are not careful. Because the word you say, somehow it gets carried and passed on to the person. Somehow. Nowadays, rumor travel very fast, as we understand. So what will happen if what you say, which is not so appropriate, ends up hurt by those whom you are trying to say or backbite. So it can be very, very what they call negative. Then because of that, the person who is affected, if he doesn't have the Dhamma, there will be a lot of anger, hatred, and unhappiness. So you spoil their day. Then they will keep this anger, which is an evil root. The next time they see you, you will be in trouble. So why do you want to have such a situation? We should avoid all this. Then what is the third type of wrong speech? What is it? You every day take precept. What is the fourth precept? What is the fourth precept? We abstain from telling lies. So telling lie is the other, third, very, very negative speech. You have to avoid that. When you lie, means you have what they call ulterior motive, to deceive, to cheat. That's why you lie. Or there is certain thing that you do not want to disclose, a hidden motive. So this part, lying, never do. Because when people come to know you are not honest, not sincere, and you lie, your relationship with people suffer. And people will not respect you the way they used to. So this is a very important aspect too. Then the last one is what? Frivolous talk. What is frivolous talk? Simply saying, heedlessly, never go through your mind. You just say what you want to say because you think it's a joy. Sometimes you think, oh, it's fun, very nice. But this type of speech, frivolous talk, if you are not careful, it can lead to what they call a very serious type of hurt. People can be hurt by what you say. H-U-R-T. So all this is not so appropriate. So this is the most important part that I want you to understand first. So that when you are at home with your family, reunion dinner, remember you are there. To actually bring forth the understanding and the importance of cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path so that you speak right speech, you do the right action, then you have the right thought, which is very useful. Then you can have this what they call Happy Chinese New Year, where you update each other, counsel each other, help each other, and those who need help, you should help them, especially the family members, those who are not so fortunate, or those who have problems. This is the time where you really, really come together and help them out. That's why for me, it's an occasion if I got condition, because my family is quite big. I got 9 brothers and sisters. So during the early day, I do a lot of these things. Whoever who is more in need of help, I will maybe personally I will do first. Then when I went back to the gathering, we will actually sit down together and discuss. Then when we come to understand certain things, then we make a decision how we can help those who are less fortunate, those who need help, those brothers and sisters who are not so fortunate. Then we bring about what they call the family unit, especially my father and my mother. The early days, when my father was still around, he is the head of the family. So we respect him a lot. We allow him to say what he wants to say first. Then what are his wishes? Then we try to fulfill. We try to bring about whatever that he wants, so that he can be happy. And this is one of the ways for us to repay his what they call his care for us, because he has given us so much. Not only given us life, he has given us the education. He has suffered and endured all the hardship to bring us up. Such a big family. Yeah, that in time of sickness, he cared for us together with my mother. Yeah? Then there were many occasions when we were young. Things were not so smooth flowing. He worried for us. So these are the gratitude and respect we must have towards our parents. And this is a time to show our appreciation and reward. That's why the Buddha Dharma comes in. The Buddha said, four things grow. You can pay respect to your parents, your elders, and those who are worthy of respect. What are the four things? Huh? It's very useful for humanity and mankind. You heard of these four things? Are you? Wana, Sukang, Palang. You heard of this or not? You haven't heard of this? Okay, good. The Buddha said, if you have this, what they call goodness or kindness to pay respect to your parents, to your elders, to those who are worthy of respect, he said, four things will grow. And these four things are very conducive and useful for humanity. First is Ayu. Ayu is what you all wish for. Long life, good health. Okay? Wana is fair complexion, beauty. This one, the ladies, they really, really look forward to have this. Eh? So Ayu, Wana, Sukang. Sukang, like you know, is a Bahasa Malaysia word. Eh? Suka. Sukang here means happiness, joy. Okay, so this is the third one. The last one is Palang. Palang is strength. It will give you strength to achieve what you want to achieve, to do what you want to do. Maybe your career. Maybe for whatever, education or whatever. Yeah? Where you have the strength to strive on, to achieve what you want. So these four things are very useful for humanity, for mankind, and for all of us who really, really wants to have a fairly good life. Yeah. Then there are other things. Before I move into the Dhamma, I finish this dedication and your contemplation first so that maybe you can have a better picture. Huh? Then the last part of your contemplation is mentioned here. May the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha bless and protect us. See? If you take refuge with the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind, and cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha will bless you and protect you. And this is very important. You are protected and blessed through what you do, what your thoughts are. Because there is such thing as a law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So if you take refuge, follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind, then through that you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. It will bring about great blessings and protection from the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. So this part, you can have it if you understand the Dhamma, if you really follow the advice of the Buddha. Then it's also mentioned, may we realize the truth in all its aspects and the path in all its stages. This is a very important aspect of meditation leading to enlightenment. That's why you not only realize the truth in all its aspects, but also the path. Because there is a path and friction to enlightenment. You must be on the right path. Then only there is the friction or enlightenment. So this part is very useful. Then may we attain peace, the supreme bliss of Nibbana. This is the enlightenment part. So when you reflect, contemplate, then you will know how to develop the dedication. Then after that, your leader, guide you along in your dedication. Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma, let us dedicate ourselves to the Triple Gem. This is very important. If you do it sincerely with understanding, the Buddha Dharma will be there. Eh? We dedicate ourselves to the three jewels. To the Buddha, the fully enlightened one, means you start to understand who the Buddha is, how special he is, because he is the fully enlightened one, not only enlightened, perfect in enlightenment, which means the Buddha is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born at that time when he arrives. To have such a great teacher with such great wisdom and virtue to guide you, you should count your blessing. That's why we can have a lot of gratitude and respect for the Buddha, is because through knowing who he is, that's why you dedicate yourself to the Buddha. Means not only take refuge, you develop this dedication. You say we dedicate ourselves to the three jewels, to the Buddha, the fully enlightened one, then to the Dhamma, the teaching which we follow. That's why you follow his advice, his teaching. The Noble Eightfold Path, the Four Noble Truths. The Dhamma is the most important. Dhamma is truth. When there is truth, there is possibility for enlightenment. So that's why you have to dedicate yourself and take refuge with the Dhamma. It is only in the Dhamma where the truth can be realized, where the truth is around. Of course, the Buddha will also have the Dhamma because he is a fully enlightened one. Eh? Then the third one is, you dedicate yourself to the Sangha, the Blessed One's enlightened disciple, not only disciple. Eh? Here the Sangha means the Aryan Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddhas. Eh? So the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, because they are enlightened, they will have the Dhamma. They will also have the teaching. Eh? Then after that you say, may no ideal words be spoken by us. This is frivolous speech. Understand not? That's why you have made your dedication. So this is one of the wrong speech. May no unwholesome thought disturb our mind. You know what are unwholesome thought? Thought which have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. The three evil roots. They are very evil. Greed. Greed is the topic, the word, one word, greed. It covers so many things. All of your selfishness are greed, not just your greediness. Your deceitfulness are your greed. Your craving and desire, your covetousness, your possessiveness, these are all your greed. And it's very evil. It's an evil root. So if you have them, you have to root them out. You have to abandon them. Otherwise, it will make you into a very evil person. Then you have the second evil root, hatred. You know what is hatred? Huh? You know, huh? Getting very angry and hate somebody. Hmm. Hatred too, like greed, the meaning is very wide, very deep. It's an evil root. It makes you into a very evil person. When there is hatred and anger, you can become violent. You can break a lot of precepts. You can harm and kill people. That's why you must avoid all this. That's why you dedicate yourself. Yeah? May no unwholesome thought disturb your mind. So envy and jealousy is also part of what they call this wrong thought. Yeah? Evil roots of anger or hatred. Yeah? Just give me a minute. I have to off my handphone. I forgot. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. Coming back to what they call the evil root of anger or hatred. Always remember, it covers all your envy, your jealousy, your unhappiness, your dislike. These are all part and parcel of the evil root of anger. Then third one is delusion. What is delusion? Huh? Delusion is part of ignorance, a small part of ignorance. When you have delusion, you do not understand the truth. You do not understand the reality of who you are, what you are. You do not have proper understanding of the universal characteristics of nature, impermanence, suffering state, and non-self. And because of that, if you have this delusion in you, it can bring forth a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, grief. And this is very negative. That's why it's an evil root. Yeah? Then you move on. You delegate to the observant of the five precepts. Ah, this is very important. You know why you have to observe the five precepts? Huh? Every day you renew your five precepts. Why do you do that? Huh? Do you all know why? The five precepts is a very important guideline which the Buddha has given to all of us, especially lay people. He said, minimum, you must keep these five precepts. If you keep the five precepts, you follow his advice to avoid all evil. That's why his Dhammapada's verse 183, where the Buddha actually expressed it very clearly. For those who are familiar, this is how it goes, the Pali version. Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyo dapanang eta buddhana sasana. The meaning is sabbe is all evil you have to avoid. Then kusalesa upasampadan. Kusala is wholesomeness. Whatever goodness and wholesomeness you must do. That's sacitta. Citta is mind. Yeah? You have to purify your mind. This is the advice of all the Buddha. So the first two part, avoid all evil, do good. This is to protect you so that you know how to bring about the good karma, so that you know how to end what they call negative karma, the evil roots that condition your negative karma. So when it comes to this advice of the Buddha, arise from this right view with regards to the law of karma. Because the Buddha said, each and every one of us, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if you want to have good blessing, good health, happiness, or whatever, good wishes on the Chinese New Year, coming Chinese New Year, or throughout your life. This is the part you have to understand, the law of karma. And to summarize, it's very easy, because karma is so important. You are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of your karma. So law of karma is very simple. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So if you want to have happiness, you must give happiness to people. If you want to have prosperity, you must have generosity. That's what it amounts to. So the first thing you have to do to avoid negative karma, to make sure that you have good karmic inheritance, you must avoid all evil. Otherwise, you cannot take care of karma. To take care of karma, you have to avoid all evil. And how do you avoid all evil? How do you maintain your precept? Not just renew your precept. Panatipata viramanisika padang samadhiyami. Just say it out, but you are not sincere. If you are truly sincere, you will understand it differently. It's not just the word that you say. You commit yourself to undertake this precept because it's so important to you, your life. If you understand this, then you will be very sincere. You want to train your mind to be ever mindful, heedful, to see your mental intention behind all your actions, speech, and thought process. That's why Noble Eightfold Path come into play. Without mindfulness, without heedfulness, you cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You cannot avoid evil. You cannot keep your precept. So, as simple as it is, through understanding the Dhamma. That's why you are able to develop the much deeper meaning and understanding of the significance of what you do on Chinese New Year. And you can bring about a realization of what your good wishes are. So now we come back to what we wish for. You wish for happiness. How can you have happiness? A very happy Chinese New Year. You know what the Buddha said? Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 tell you exactly what will happen to your life. Dhammapada verse 1 explains how suffering comes to you. Dhammapada verse 2 explains how happiness and joy come to you. So your New Year message, when you have this understanding, you will know how to bring about the happening to make you really happy. Then when you are at home during reunion or what, you have the occasion to share and explain your understanding with your loved ones, with your relatives, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, it can also help them to realize what they want to realize. So this part is very important. I will explain to you now. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 is a twin verse. That's why Dhammapada verse, there are 423. The Buddha said, these are the 423 important verses that he has come out with. And it's about eternal truth. It is evergreen, ever applicable. And if you understand, it will bring forth a lot of wisdom to allow you to live life, the beautiful, happy, and noble life. So Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, the opening statement is the same. The Buddha said, our mind is very important. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. So if you do not take care of mind, you say, if you are heedless, you are not serious about life, then you will heedlessly act, speak, and think with a wicked mind that will have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Such a being, suffering will follow them, like the wheel that follow the hood. So if you want to have suffering, then you can continue to be heedless. No need to develop this dedication, no need to develop the contemplation, no need to cultivate the Buddha Dharma. But if you choose to be heedful, if you want to change the course of your life, you want to avoid all evil so that no more suffering, if you want to do away with Dhammapada verse 1, you have to follow Dhammapada verse 2. Under Dhammapada verse 2, the Buddha explained how happiness can come about. Again, he explained, our mind is very useful. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. Where mind arises, everything come to be. So if you know the mind is so important, he said, we should be very heedful. We should cultivate this mind so that there is this mindfulness and heedfulness within. Then with this heedfulness, the Buddha said, if you were to act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, free from the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, means no selfishness, no negative emotion, and no delusion. Then the Buddha said, such a being is beautiful. Happiness will follow them like the shadow that never leaves them. This is how you can bring about real happiness to you in your life. And when you are happy, you can be a very, very good, what they call blessing to all your loved ones, to society, to environment, and to the world, to all of humanity. When there is happiness, there is joy. So this is a very important understanding. If you want to have happiness, you must train your mind. You must avoid all the unwholesome thought, unwholesome action, and unwholesome speech. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is very important. So if you know how to speak, act, and think appropriately, with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots, following Noble Eightfold Path, then happiness will follow you. You can put it to test. You can try it out this year. You go back, you try. You change the way you speak. You speak gentle, pleasant, good speeches, appropriate speeches that bring about joy, happiness, harmony, and goodness. You try. It will be a very different New Year for you and your family. Then all of your action, when it comes to action, Chinese New Year, what you do? You receive a lot of what they call Chinese New Year gift, isn't it? And at the same time, you offer offerings or gift to your loved ones, your good friends, all those who have business relationship with you or whatever. Then even, I think, you have this, what they call New Year Dana, is it? You also make offerings to all, the Sangha and the lay people. And it's occasion for what they call doing good, generosity. And this is a parami that will give you wealth. That's why you wish for prosperity. How can you have prosperity if you don't understand this law of karma? If you don't understand how wealth come to be? You look at Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. Why are they still so wealthy this life? It's because every life they do the same. After they have their wealth, what do? They donated so much of it. Bill Gates donated 90% of what he has. Warren Buffett, 60%. And there are many rich people who are very generous. That's why the nature's law is such, you reap what you sow. The more you give, the more you receive. Giving is giving to yourself because you have kindness and goodness. People will be kind to you. And generosity is a very important parami. I always tell Dhamma friends, sometimes we may think that, every year we do the same. I buy thing, I give to you. You buy thing, you give to me. Why not we do it differently this time? Yeah, they want to save money, is it? You no need to give to me, I no need to give to you. I just wish you, you just wish me. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? Is there much truth in what is spoken? Of course, those who want to save the money, those who cannot really afford, to them, they will try to follow this. It's quite meaningful. But you must understand, giving is not just materialistic giving, understand? There are many levels of giving. If you are not what they call rich enough, or if you do not have the financial means, you don't have to give materialistic gift. Understand? That's why you can give in many ways. You can give in the form of service, help. Then you can give in the form of what they call sharing of truth, sharing of what they call important information. So that's why gift of truth is another one. Helping to promote where they can listen to good Dhamma talk or good sharing of the truth. All these are possible. But you must know, generosity is like that. It may be like I give to you, you give to me. But the nature's law recognizes that generosity, that very giving, once it's given, it has its own recorded, what they call, merits. Then when you receive back, it's the blessings of generosity for the other side who offered to you, even though it's just an exchange. That's why this Chinese New Year culture or tradition of giving gift is very useful, very good. And at the same time, do you know, it generates so much more economic activity. That's why they say with these festivals, like Christmas, Chinese New Year, or whatever occasion, the Chinese have this type of good tradition. Throughout the year, you realize, almost every 1 or 2 months, there is something for them to celebrate. You realize or not? Even for the date, they also have Qing Bing and all those things. Then you got your full moon, the Chap Go Me. Then they have the, what they call, Mooncake Festival. Then you got your before New Year, the Tang Chi, and all those things. So many occasions for what they call celebration. Yeah. So in a way, you understand it's the condition for goodness to arise and flow. But at the same time, if you are not careful, it's also an opportunity or condition for negativity to happen too. So never have this jealousy or unhappy mind. When you have this evil root in you, then everything you come to perceive become negative. But you can have the Dhamma with you. Everything that you come to perceive become wholesome, good, and meaningful. And that's how it can change the world. That's how it can change your life and the life of others. That's how you can become a blessing to many. The other thing I forgot is, Chinese New Year, you have to travel, isn't it? Most of you have to travel home, isn't it? Most of us are driving, isn't it? But this year, my wife wanted me to fly. So my whole family fly back to Alaska. So this is the only year I fly. But like I always said, when it's Chinese New Year time, the traffic can be very heavy. You must have a lot of patience. You must have a lot of skillful driving. That's why he said you must have heedfulness. Drive carefully. Drive heedfully. Protect yourself. You protect others. Understand that? If you are heedless, if you are in a hurry, impatient, what will happen during Chinese New Year? Especially when you reach your hometown, the small town. The whole town is so jammed. If you don't have the Dhamma, don't have the patience, I tell you, it can be quite a frustrating moment when you're on the street. So if you understand the Dhamma, goodness can come to be. Because if we take the trouble to be careful, to be heedful and drive carefully, maintain patience, do not drive in a hurry, do not try to be impatient. When you do this, you not only protect you and your family, you protect others too. Otherwise, whatever mistake you do, it can bring forth a lot of consequences. The other thing that you have to do is, if you are traveling fairly long distance, you make sure you check your car, service it, minimum, radiator, check the water, or service the car, then try it out for a while before you drive back. Because it is really quite bad if you have a breakdown halfway. Luckily, nowadays, they say this plus highway, they got this phone number where you can call and they can replace your bus tire. So you have to check your tire too. So these are the things you can avoid. Through understanding, you try to develop them. You try to come out with whatever appropriate good measure that you can have to avoid all this from happening. So this is the aspect where you need to understand. Then I finish off this one first. I haven't really finished. Your dedication. So you say, you dedicate to the practice of meditation. We dedicate ourselves. So to the practice of meditation, you dedicate yourself means you dedicate yourself to determine, to make the aspiration, to meditate, isn't it? What is meditation? Meditation has two parts. First, you have to train your mind. If your mind is not trained, it's very heedless. It wanders off very fast. And because of that, it's not peaceful. As far as meditation is concerned, you have to understand this very important teaching of the Buddha. The Buddha mentioned, there are five things that can make your mind not peaceful. You know what these five things are? You all haven't heard of. The Buddha called it the hindrance of mind. Pancha Nivaranas. The five hindrance. You heard of them? Some of you might have. Or you haven't. Five things hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. That's why you cannot meditate, is it? And the most serious one is restlessness of mind. Your mind becomes very restless. When you are restless, you cannot meditate. Why are you restless? Because you have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of problems. That's why the first noble truth, the reality of life and existence. When you are confronted with the reality that the Buddha talked about, birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from loved ones, separation from your possession or things that you think you own. When you are with people whom you don't like, when you are not able to get what you want, when things don't go your way, you suffer, the Buddha said. These are the seven conditions. Then the Buddha finally summarized. In short, it is our delusion that condition our attachment and grasping to this five aggregate of form and mind. As a human being, you have a physical form, you have a mind. He said you attach and grasp to this deludedly, thinking that it's you, the me and the mind. Suffering will follow you. If you don't believe, you can give it a try. Put it to test. Investigate into it. So this noble truth is very important. So the Buddha said, when you are afflicted by all this, the first thing that human beings do, I don't know why, because they don't have the Dhamma, is to worry about it. Understand not? If you worry about life, you cannot live life. You cannot solve your problem, understand? You must calm yourself down, compose yourself, and reflect clearly, see clearly what is going on, and accept the reality of what has happened. Then do what you have to do to recover from it, to move on. Not to go and create the fear, the worry, the anxiety, and the restlessness of mind. This will destroy you, especially sickness, nowadays very common, You always hear of what they call cancer and all those things. So when there is this, what they call worrisome thing, living beings who don't understand, they cling, they grasp, they hold. That's why they create fear, worry, anxiety. And this is the one that is very negative. When you have fear, worry, anxiety, your immune system go down. You know why? These are negative energy. Negative energy will create mutation in your cells because there is this fear. You know how is it like to be fearful, to have worry and anxiety, as opposed to happiness and joy during Chinese New Year time. When you are full of motivation, full of joy and happiness, there is this positive energy in you. Like just now when you radiate metta, you are doing your puja. There is so much calmness in you. And this is positive energy, metta energy. And this is so soothing. You feel so good. Your cell, like you, when they feel good, they become whole. They become complete. They become beautiful. They become healthy. They recover. Your immune system come up. So never arise what they call restlessness of mind. Never allow fear, worry, anxiety, and unhappiness to settle into your mind. So Dhamma understanding is very useful. It can help you in so many ways, especially during New Year time. So when you dedicate yourself to meditation, means you dedicate yourself to understand what your mind is all about. You need to train this mind so that it is heedful in the moment to understand what is going on, to see the truth, the reality of life and existence, the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self. So when you have this understanding, you will become transformed. You will awaken, or they call it enlightened. The other four, what they call hindrance, the first two is very important. This one is meditative. You all may not understand it so easily, but I can briefly explain what this is. When you have sensual desire and ill will, the Buddha said, these are the first two hindrances. Sensual desire, you know, your senses. You desire something, you cling onto something, you grasp onto something that is like a pleasant feeling, a nice music or what. The moment you grasp and cling, what happened to your mind? Your mind is preoccupied with that nice sensation, isn't it? Music, hearing consciousness, or the appealing thing that you see. The more when you are being preoccupied with that, the mind is being distracted. That's why you are no longer in the moment, in clear awareness to meditate, to understand what is going on. So that's why it's a hindrance of mind. The other more easy example is the second hindrance, aversion, anger, unhappiness. When you see something, hear something, smell something, or taste something, or tactile feel or think or something that you don't like, what happened? You have this aversion towards it, anger or dislike towards it, unpleasant feeling. This is how your mind get preoccupied with that. So when it's preoccupied with this negative feeling, the Buddha say you are no longer peaceful. You are no longer in the moment. That's why throughout the day, human being has this. Whatever you see, like and dislike, arise. Whatever you hear, you cling, like and dislike. Smell, taste, tactile, feel, or thing is the same. So the first two hindrances is so powerful. If you do not understand this, very difficult to progress in your meditation. So to overcome this, the Buddha said, you must develop the five spiritual faculties to counter them. I will reserve this for another talk on the five hindrances and the five spiritual faculties. The other two hindrances are, the third one is sloth and torpor, means sleepiness. When you don't understand why you want to meditate, when you don't understand the importance and significance of meditation, most of the time you try to meditate, you become sleepy. And that is a very common hindrance. Sleepiness or lethargic mind is one of the hindrances. The Buddha call it sloth and torpor. The last one is when you don't understand, when you have doubt, when you are not clear with what meditation is. That is the last hindrance. To reverse all this, you cultivate the spiritual faculty or mental faculty that the Buddha talked about. First is the faith, saddha, in the Buddha in his teaching. Then virya, the spiritual resolve through understanding who the Buddha is. Then you must cultivate heedfulness or mindfulness. That one is meditation. Then from there, samadhi will arise, the stable mind, the calm, collected mind. Then with sati and samadhi, you see things as they are very clearly. That's how wisdom come to be, the last spiritual faculty. And these five, when you have them, you can meditate. The hindrance will disappear. That's why when you say you dedicate yourself to develop the meditation, this is the important Dhamma you have to understand. So to practice, to the practice of meditation, we dedicate ourselves. Then to the development of wisdom, we dedicate ourselves. So same. Meditation will lead to wisdom. To the attainment of enlightenment, we dedicate ourselves. So this is the same. When you can develop the meditation, the wisdom come, you become enlightened. That's how you free yourself from all suffering. Then for the happiness of all being, you dedicate ourselves. For the benefits and happiness of all beings, we dedicate ourselves. With restraint in body, speech, and mind. This one, New Year, you must cultivate this. We dedicate ourselves. Restrain your body, speech, and mind means cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. Restrain yourself from arising the wrong action, wrong speech, and wrong thought process. So this is very beautiful. Your contemplation, your dedication, which you have done every Sunday on your puja. Now, coming back to today's topic, I think I have covered quite a few things. Is there anything that you all would like me to talk on? Maybe I will leave it to the Q&A session. You can ask me questions with regards to the teaching or to the talk or whatever that you feel that you may need further understanding or explanation. So with this, I thank you all for patiently hearing the Dhamma. Then I will end my talk now. Thank you so much. Sadhu. If you all got any question, you can ask. Huh? Anybody?
Morning, brother.
Yeah. Yes.
I just like to ask this, because in the salutation to the Sangha,
yes,
we say the Sangha is worthy of offerings,
yes,
worthy of hospitality,
yes,
worthy of gifts, and worthy of reverential salutation.
Yes.
What is the difference between offerings and gifts?
Okay. Very good. Okay. You see, when you offer, you offer, what is the thing that usually you offer? The four requisites. But most people understand it differently. Because when you talk about offering, we are, what we normally focus on is the four requisites that the monk or the sangha need. So, dana, which is offering of food, is one of the important requisites. Then shelter, hospitality, and all those things. And all those are mentioned. That's why when it comes to offering, you see, what you do here? Offering of flower is offering. Understand not? Offering of incense is offering. Offering of light is an offering. Understand not? Give is the four requisite. Understand? So offering is part and parcel of the whole thing. But normally offering, here in this context, when you chant the salutation to the Sangha, is more of offering of all these things. The light, the flower, and all those. But when it comes to four requisite, it's a gift. You give to the monk to use. Understand? So that's how I understand it. The line is very thin. Very thin. Very good question. In the early day, I used to reflect and ask the same question like what our sister asked. To me, it's quite similar. Offering and give. Then later, I reflect. This is how I understand. Give means, if I give to you, it's for you to use it. Correct or not? Offering is to have a certain significance. Like I offer a flower. It's a symbol of what? To reflect and to contemplate on the impermanence. Understand or not? Then also, as a joy, when I am able to offer a very fresh flower to the altar, to the Sangha, it is a symbol of something. Then I see it decay. Understand? I developed the contemplative wisdom that come from it. But I cannot give. Understand? Of course, physically you can give the flower to the monk, to the sangha. But what is the meaning of give? Give is something for them to use. Understand? So that's why the word offering and give are actually a very thin gray line. But it is a very important differentiation. Okay? Any other question? You have to ask me question, otherwise Dhamma cannot flow. Don't worry about your question. It can be anything that you want to know about this coming Chinese New Year. Any particular tradition or whatever practices that you are not sure why you do that, you can ask. No problem.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
If not, we thank Brother Gen Kun for his very good talk this morning, giving a lot of tips on how to have a good, a happy, a friendly, and a prosperous New Year, not only during the celebrations, but for the year ahead and the years beyond.